بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته إن شاء الله. Today is the day of Ashura, and I thought today I somehow pause in the series of the lectures that we had and talk about another subject, but it is also somehow related to the discussion that we had. The subject today is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the light of the practice of Imam Hussein, and in particular the day of Ashura. And this is, I said, related to the subject that we had, because we are talking about the way Imam Zaman establishes faith and Iman, and the whole core of Iman is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Human beings are very special among the creatures of Allah. Maybe jinns are like human beings, and maybe there are others that we don't know. But in respect those things that we know, human beings are very special in different ways. One of the differences, one of the specialities of human beings is that there are different levels of awareness, different levels of knowledge among human beings. It's not as easy as saying either we know something or we don't know. Either something is in my mind or is not. No. There are different levels, different layers, and sometimes something is there, but you are fully unaware. In our mind or in our soul, there may be traces of events that have happened to us, but we are unconscious about them. But it's not that we have forgotten them, absolutely. No, they are there. And sometimes they have lots of effects on us. A good memory of, for example, someone being kind to us on a special, for example, occasion, make the whole occasion always looking very nice to us. Maybe we don't know what was the reason, but the reason is that in that particular time we had very good experience, and this has caused a kind of association between these two ideas in our mind. So whenever that day comes, we are reminded of that good experience, but maybe we don't know the reason, or we don't remember the reason. But this is in an unconscious level of our mind. And this is very important, and as you know, that in psychology and also psychotherapy, sometimes they try to find the solutions for the mental illnesses by going back to those unconscious levels of our mind. Of course, sometimes they maybe exaggerate and they think everything has some explanation there, but the fact is that there are things that we have been through. They are not cleaned from our memory. They are there, but they are not active. They are in a passive mode, but they are there and they have their own effect on us. Sometimes it's more present, but still you need efforts. So it's not difficult. You can make a force and remember them. Like, for example, you know some poems. You have memorized some poems. It's not that always in every second these poems are actively present in your mind, but whenever you want, you can bring them to your mind. You can remember them. This is possible. And in fact, because we cannot have attention to many things at the same time, this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have this possibility of having a short-term memory in which we can put things a standby, and whenever we want, we bring them. When we don't want, we put them back. Otherwise, if everything was present there, you would be mad. If we are surrounded by thousands of memories and we don't know, you know, which one we should pay attention. So, this is good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us also a short-term and an accessible memory, so that whenever we want, like a library, you go and bring the book that you want from the bookshelf and read it and put it back. Of course, unfortunately, many of us do not have that much control on this process. So, we may remember things that we don't want. Or, sometimes, I want to think about something, but I am taken away miles from what I want to concentrate on by other things. I want to sit on my sajjada and, you know, have some contemplation, but then I am reminded of my, you know, for example, job in the university, or, you know, what my children are doing and whatsoever. It's not that always we have full control of this process, but it's manageable, and we need experience, we need practice. The more you try to have control, the more power you get. I remember that once, many years ago, I asked Ayatollah Bahjat after Salat. He was walking to his home, and I went and asked him, what can I do to control my thoughts, my ideas? Sometimes something comes to your mind you don't like, but it's as if they come by themselves. It's as if you have not brought them. They come by themselves. So what should I do? And he said, if I tell you, then would you accept? Would you practice? I said, inshallah. And he said, whenever these things come to your mind, don't pay attention to them. If you yourself don't pay attention to them, then after a while they stop coming. But unfortunately, when these bad memories come, we start playing with them for a while, sometimes even flourishing them, maybe a little bit enjoying, and then we say, oh, why it came to my mind? Maybe I should try next time not to. So, although we don't have always control over these memories, but it's up to us. We can practice and we can gain control over the things. So the things that we don't like, then they don't come to our mind. And even if they come, they go away very quickly. So this is another level of our attention and understanding and remembrance. There is a level which is even higher than this. And that is when you remember something, and that is present in your mind, but not necessarily you are only thinking about that and concentrating on that. Maybe you are doing other things, but still this is like a background for your ideas. Like what? Like, for example, the intention that you have for Salat, or if you go to Hajj, you have intention, niyyah, okay? Is this niyyah something that is in unconscious level of your mind? No. Is it something that you have memorized and put it there so that whenever you want, you go and bring it? No. But is this intention always in your mind that I am performing for rak'ah of Salat al-Zuhr, Qurbatan ilallah? No. So something in between the second and the fourth. And that is like a background in your mind against which you act. You recite hamd, you recite qul huwa Allah, you go for ruku and for sujood. But still this background is there. And this is what our ulama say in Risale, that if you are asked, what are you doing? Then you can answer, I am doing this. This is enough. You don't need always to remember this. Because if you always remember this, then you cannot do anything else. You cannot concentrate on your qira'ah or whatsoever. So this is a kind of background for your attention. Okay. This is the beauty of human being that has all these levels of understanding. And maybe some of these levels can be subdivided into sub-levels. What is important, what is actually influential in developing ourselves is mostly the third and the fourth, either something that you remember fully or something which is there present in your mind, even if it's as a background, but it's giving flavor and giving color and formation to what you think about and what you do. These two are very important. And when we talk about remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must get engaged in the remembrance of Allah in these two ways. It's not beneficial that in our unconscious level we remember Allah. Indeed, all human beings have this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an innate knowledge that Allah has given to every human being, that deep in their heart and mind, this is built. This knowledge is there. And whenever they are, for example, faced with dangers and threats, they quickly and automatically are reminded of this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Quran says, إِذَا رَكَبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ اللَّهُ دِينَ. When they are aboard on the ship and they are faced with the storms and they think that they are going to die, then they are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That unconscious knowledge becomes conscious. But what is the point? This is not useful because they're only when they are in danger, as soon as they reach the coast, فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ الْأَلْبِرِ, when they are saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they can put their feet on the land, then many of them forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not enough. This is not also enough that you have it there in your memory, so whenever you want you can bring. You may have memorized all the zikrs, all the invocations, all the du'as, all the supplications, but these are there. Whenever I ask you, you can tell me, but are they active and effective? No. These are just in archive. We don't want archive of zikrs. What we need is the last two. Either you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very present way, or at least it's a background for your activities. These are the things that we need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that there are houses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted His name to be mentioned in those houses, in which Allah has permitted His name to be mentioned. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. In houses that Allah has permitted to be raised, to be elevated, and His name be mentioned. So first of all, this shows that to be able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that we talked needs permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that this is not something that happens for everyone. Everyone is not worthy of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must be some kind of preparation. The heart must be capable of fasting remembrance of Allah. It's like, for example, if someone wants to invite a very important person to his house, and this person maybe have 100 people with him, always going with him. If your house is small, or is not, you know, tidy, or it's mess, you cannot invite such a person with such honorable companions. So, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر. These are the houses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted to be raised, to be elevated, and His name to be mentioned. Maybe these two are related to each other. It means that first these houses are elevated, then they can be placed for remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before being elevated, they cannot be worthy of being a place for invocation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, what is the thing that gives value to these houses? In this dunya, what gives value to the houses is sometimes the way the house is built. It has very good design and architecture. Sometimes it's because of the furniture, the way it's furnished. Sometimes it's because of the location. The location is very good. Sometimes it's because of the size. Sometimes it's because of neighbors. You know, you have good park or next to the metro underground station. These are the things that give value. But what about these houses that Allah is talking about? Allah says the value of these houses is because of the people who are in these houses. This is very important. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه فيها الرجال يحبون. There are people in these houses that would like to be purified, to be cleansed. As we say in Arabic, شرف المكان بالمكين. Value of the place is because of the person who is there. Unfortunately, normally we give value to the people according to their place. So if I am living in a very good, for example, house, people respect me more. Oh, this man is very important. Why? Because his house is worth several millions of pounds. If I am, for example, a poor man who is tenant and I live in council house, they may say, no, this man is not very important. This is what, not mu'mineen, but normal people, you know, may have this mentality. But as we say, sharaful makan bil makin, the value of the place is because of the one who is in that place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said these houses are raised, and Allah has permitted to be raised and His name to be mentioned in these houses, and inside these houses there are people who want to purify themselves. So these houses are houses for purifying yourselves. And these are the people that nothing makes them preoccupied so that they neglect, they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تَجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ أَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Neither business nor trade, merchandise, nothing makes them busy to the extent that they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course they are busy, they are not silly people, they are not lazy people, they are not people who don't make efforts. They are busy, but what we say here, busy, we mean things that preoccupy your mind so that you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you can be fully engaged in social life, in lots of interactions with other people and society, but at the same time, the remembrance of Allah can be present there as a background that gives you direction in your life. You know why you are doing this. The way that ulama say, you know, if you are asked, what is your intention, you must be able to say. So if you are asked, why you are doing this, you must be able to quickly, not just, you know, finding beautiful answers. Sometimes people deceive themselves, you know. So when you ask them, why you are doing all this, then they find, you know, to find beautiful answers. Oh, I do this for the sake of Allah, to, you know, spend some money on my family and give to the poor people. No, these are the answers, you know, that you have brought from archives. We don't want this answer. We want something which is background of your mind. Something that quickly you can say. And these are the things that we can hope to be able to carry with us to the other world. Something which is there as an unconscious subject, or something which is just stored in archive, these are not the things that can benefit you. If someone knows all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1,000 maybe names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he never is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can on the day, in the day that he dies and he's questioned by angels, who is your Lord? Can he eloquently mention those 1,000 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because he had this in his memory? No, that's not useful. The only thing that can be able, people be able to answer, is the things that are really part of their understanding. It has been absorbed by them. This is what they can take to the other world. Or even in this dunya, it's not just matter of death. Even in this dunya, when you are in normal life, you can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever you hear, for example, the call for prayer, you hear azan, you are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. To this extent, it comes. But what about when you are surrounded with all the problems? You suffer from illness, or your children are suffering from illness, you have, you know, poverty, you have, for example, family who are in problem, family relation is not good, business is not going well. Then would you be able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala easily? No. When a good customer comes, you know, and you can maybe deceive that person, would you be able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When your partner in, or your neighbor or your spouse or your children or your parents or your relatives are somehow wronged by you, you have mistreated them, would you be able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and quickly say, I was guilty, I was the one who made fault? It's not easy. If you want to see how much people remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how much people have real attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spend some time with them. Listen to their conversations. Listen to the way that they treat people or speak to the people, look the way they treat the people, and find on how many occasions they have had attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, you listen to them from the beginning of the day up to the time they go to bed, and you don't hear anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. Exclude the time for salat. The time for salat is something that, you know, has become like a formal, you know, way of performing your obligation. Even in salat, we may be forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in their real life, how much they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much they attribute their success to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than attributing to themselves or to luck or chance or market or whatsoever? How much they attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much if they make mistakes, they realize that this is caused by themselves and negligence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes you make journey with the people. This is also very good to find out the reality of people, because when you make a journey, then there are many things which are not easy. Everything is not possible to be arranged in advance. Then you can see the realities of the people. If you go for example, for Hajj or other trips, and things are not always going smoothly, so you can find out what is there deep in the soul of this person. So, the people who have remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala present in their mind, or at least as a background for what they do, these are the people whose lives are based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever they do is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they are faced with unease, with difficulties, this doesn't make any change. Indeed, this makes them even remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. This makes their faith stronger, and the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stronger. So having said that, now let's reflect on sayings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions. When we review the whole journey of Imam Hussein and the sermons that Imam Hussein made, the lectures, the talks that he gave, you always find that Imam Hussein very much is stressing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right upon us, and that we must serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that whatever Hussein is doing is for religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hussein has no personal interest, and this was not a personal issue between Hussein and Yazid. He had no personal business with Yazid. Everything was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and foreseeing that things are going in the wrong direction, even worse than the time of Muawiyah, because now they are trying to establish the idea of monarchy in Islam, that a caliph then appoints his son as his successor. Because up to the time of Muawiyah, this was not there. No caliph was son of the other caliph without being qualified. Of course, the idea of imama is different. The idea of imama is like the idea of prophethood, which is mentioned in the Quran, which was going from generation to generation, because the most qualified person was the person who is coming in the next generation. But the idea of caliphate is not based on the idea of caliphate, or you know, monarchy is not based on qualification. Even Muawiyah himself was not happy with Yazid. You know that Muawiyah wrote a letter to Yazid, and it says, when you were very young, you were a child, you used to make us very happy. But when you grew up, you always cause problem and pain. And he said, لَيْتَكَ لَمْ تَكُنْ. I wish you were not there at all. Muawiyah himself knows who was Yazid. But this is selfishness, that still he wants this to be for his son, although he knows that this doesn't belong to him. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when saw all these problems, then when he was asked by the governor of Medina to pay allegiance to Yazid, Imam Hussein said, وَعَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ أَسْسَلَامِ إِذْ قَدْ بُلِيَتَ الْأُمَّةُ بِرَاعٍ مِثْلُ يَزِيدٍ. Now we should say farewell, we should say goodbye to Islam, if Yazid is going to be the leader of this ummah. And then you follow up all the things that Imam Hussein said and his companion said. Everything is based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala up to the very last moment of their life. You remember what we said about, for example, Muslim ibn Aqil. That what did he say in the palace of Ibn Ziyad? And other companions of Imam, even the young children, like Qasim, like the son, another son of Imam Hassan, like Hazrat Ali Akbar, all companions, all members of Ahlul Bayt, always their conversations were full of reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what made this movement unique, because there is nothing, no impurity, no selfish or worldly intention involved in the part of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And on the other side, you see, everything is selfish, And everything, even if it is sometimes given some religious significance, it's just make-up. It's just hypocrisy. Because they themselves knew that this is not for the sake of Islam. And they knew that they were doing something wrong. Indeed, they did something that I was thinking, I've been always thinking about this, but the last few days something new came to my mind. Because I was always thinking that how it came that these people so brutal, the things that they did with Imam Hussein was very brutal. You know, if, for example, if you say, okay, these people wanted power, like Ibn Ziyad, okay, like Omar Asad. They wanted power, they wanted position, so they get involved in the murder of Imam Hussein. Okay, this is understandable. But why they didn't kill Imam Hussein with respect? Why they didn't act as a civilized person? When you kill your enemy, you must respect. Okay, give him one hit and kill that person. And respectfully let he be buried without damaging the body, without attacking the family and children. But the way they did, even maybe in the time of Jahiliyyah, was not done. I don't remember any story that in the time of Jahiliyyah they did such a thing with their enemies. So, why they became so brutal? The thing that we cannot mention. How they, you know, acted in respect to Imam Hussein. And then, you know, sometimes you wonder, for example, you know, taking away the dress of Imam Hussein, although Imam Hussein had on a very old trousers, because he knew that they would take away and loot the dress. I think they took it away. Or taking ring off from the finger of Imam Hussein, and, you know, I don't want to mention this story. So why they became so brutal? It came to my mind that maybe because these people were involved in such a big crime, then on the day of Ashura, they were cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone is cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the Quran, means that this person would be far from mercy of Allah and guidance of Allah. So it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away from them all the knowledge, all the understanding, and they became like mad. They did something that they themselves later for sure regret, but in that day they were cursed, so they didn't know what they were doing. They did things that no one, you know, can explain. Even we have that the person who was Sanan ibn Anas, when in the last moment was using his sword to cut the and attack Imam Hussein, he said, "Wallahi inni la ajtazzu ra'saka wa a'lamu annaka ibn Rasulillah wa khayrun nas aban wa umman." He said, "Hussein, I am hitting you while I know that you are the son of the Prophet, and your father and mother are the best people." This is the way that he was saying. So, on the side of Imam Hussein, everything was showing remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the side of enemies, everything was showing that these people were so much forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget themselves. And when they forgot themselves, they did everything. This is the Quran. لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like the people who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah made them forget themselves. If you forget yourself, then you can do everything. If I forget that I am a human being, that Allah has given me conscience and has given me power to understand what is good and what is bad, and then go for after good. Then I forget this, then I may do everything. I may do every crime. A very beautiful thing that happened on the day of Ashura that you all know is the story of the Salat on the day of Ashura. You know, the person who mentioned the time for Zuhr was Abu Sumama. And this Abu Sumama told Imam Hussein alayhi salam that it's the time for Zuhr. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam looked to the sky and said, ذَكَرْتَ الصَّلَاةِ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ الذَّاكِرِينَ. You reminded about the Salat. You mentioned Salat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you among the people who say their prayer and the people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakirin. Then Imam said, Na'am hadha awwalu waqta. Yes, you are right. This is just the beginning of the time of. Maybe he looked a few seconds before Zuhr, and then Imam checked and said, yes, this is the beginning of the time. And then Imam said, Salhum an yakuffu anna hatta nusalli. Ask these people to leave us so that we can pray. The same thing happened to Imam Ali in the war of Saffin. During the war of Saffin, Imam Ali alayhi salam wanted to say prayer, and then Ibn Abbas told Imam, oh Imam, this is not the good time for Salat. We are, you know, busy and we fight. And Imam Ali said, aren't we fighting for Salat? The whole point of this fight is Salat. Why should we delay Salat and get involved in fighting? So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, despite that the battle was very severe, said, ask them to give us time so that we say our prayer. And Abu Sumama said, may I be your ransom. Although these people are going to follow and, you know, continue their attacks, but by Allah, as long as I am alive, they cannot catch you. I will be shelter for you. And I would love to be able to save another salat behind you. Some people say that enemies at that time were so close to the Imam and his people that they heard the voice of Imam and this conversation. So one of them, who was called Hussein or Hassin, with Sad, not with Sin. Maybe Hassin, maybe Hussein. Hassin ibn Tamim heard this conversation and said, this salat will not be accepted. He just wanted to cause pain. And then Habib ibn Muzahir was there, said, Za'amta annaha la tuqbalu min al rasul wa tuqbalu minka ya himar. He said, oh donkey, stupid man, you think that Allah does not accept prayer of family of the Prophet and accept from you? Then that man attacked Habib, and a fight started, and Habib managed to hit the horse of Hassin. Then his friends came and helped him, and they all attacked Habib. And it was the time that Habib was killed. Many people attacked him by swords and spears. So Habib is also a martyr for Salat, in addition to being a martyr for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then what happened was, a person who was called Badil, he separated head of Habib. And Hassin, who started all this fight, told that Badil, give me head of Habib so that I put it on my horse, hang it on my horse, and go around, and everyone knows that I have been involved in killing Habib. Look at their mentality. Look at how cursed they were, and they were taken away their understanding. They wanted to show off that they had some role in killing a person like Habib. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, after reaching body of Habib, said, "Inda Allah ahtasibu nafsi wa humata asabi." I leave these to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward for this. Then two people went for fight so that they can get enemies involved and busy with the fight, so that Imam Hussein and others can say their prayers. And among those who remained with Imam, two of them stood in front of Imam as shelter. And these two were Sa'id ibn Abdullah and Amr ibn Qarzah al-Ka'bi. So they stood in front of Imam. And this shows how loyal they were to Imam, that they received all the arrows and didn't move, didn't bend. You may remember I mentioned 3 years ago this story from one of ulama, Faiz Kashani, that he had this question in his mind, that why Imam Hussein said to his companions in the night of Ashura that I do not know any companions more loyal and better than my companions. Then he was thinking that whoever was in their place must have done the same. Because, you know, the love that he had, so he thought that everyone must have done the same. These were not special people. Then he had a dream that he was in the same situation, standing in front of Imam Hussein and providing shelter for Imam Hussein for Salat. But in his dream, he saw that when arrows came towards him, he bent and the arrow hit Imam Hussein. Then he regrets. He cursed himself. He said, why I have done it? He stood up again the arrow was coming and he bent. And then he woke up and he realized that this is something too easy to say. But you know, to remain and even have control over your unconscious reactions, it's very important. Because when arrows come, automatically you may just bow down or bend. So how powerful these people were, how determined they were, how much control they had over themselves, that they remained. And then, when Salat finished, they fell down. Okay, now, if any ordinary moment was there, or even, you know, maybe a very good moment, would have thought, okay, now, alhamdulillah, I have made something. I have done some achievement. Must be proud of himself. But these people still were worried whether they have been loyal enough to Imam Hussein or not. So when Imam Hussein alayhi salam went towards Sa'id ibn Abdullah, he opened his eyes and saw Imam Hussein on his next to him. Said, "Awwafaytu yabna Rasulullah." O son of the Prophet, have I been loyal? Have I performed my duties towards you? This was his concern. And Imam Hussein said, "Na'am, anta amami fil jannah." Yes, and in heaven also you will be in front of me. You will always be with me, and wherever I want to go, like people, you know, who have some guards, they go in front of them. These people also will be with Imam Hussein. Then the other man, Amr ibn Qarzah, asked the same question, "Awwafaytu yabna Rasulullah?" Imam Hussein again said, "Na'am, anta amami fil jannah." And then Imam Hussein said, "Faqara Rasulullah minna as-salam wa a'limhu anni fil as." Say my salam to the Prophet and tell him that Hussein is coming soon. This is the way that Imam Hussein and his companions were concerned about remembrance of Allah and about Salat. And also, you remember what we said about the night before Ashura, that Imam Hussein asked for another night so that he can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can recite the Quran. And he said, Allah knows that Hussein loves to recite the Quran, loves to ask forgiveness. And many, many other things, many other conversations, many other mottos that they had during the battle, all showed full remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among the things that shows the remembrance of Allah very much present was when Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the last minutes of his life, receiving all those attacks and falling down, and again mentioning names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his commitment to the religion of the Prophet. And maybe this, inshallah, can be a lesson for all of us, that we need to establish and to deepen the level of remembrance of Allah that we have, so that in all circumstances we can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just when we are on sajjada or we are in the mosque. You may know about the Ziyarat al-Nahiyya Muqaddasa, which is given by Imam al-Zaman to one of his Nawab, one of those four deputy of Imam al-Zaman. And this is very much respected by our ulama. This is a long ziyara. And in part of this ziyara, Imam Zaman himself explains what happened on the day of Ashura. And Imam Zaman alayhi salam also says that in one place, he says, فَلَئِنْ أَخَّرَتْنَ الدُّهُورِ وَآقَنِي أَنْ نَصْرِكَ الْمَقْدُورِ دور ولم اكن لمن حاربك محاربا ولمن نصب لك العداوه مناصبا فلاندبنك صباحا ومساء. Imam Zaman, addressing Imam Hussein, says that if I have been hindered by the course of time, means Allah didn't want me to be in your time, so I was not lucky enough to be with you and to support you and to be your ransom, I was not able to fight your enemies, so what I do, فَلَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, I will therefore lament you morning and evening, وَلَأَبْكِيَنَّ لَكَ بَدَلَ الدُّمُوعِ الدَّمَى, and instead of weeping tears, I will weep blood. This shows the severe of crying of Imam Mahdi. Maybe it means that there are no tears left for Imam. Maybe it means that it will be very painful kind of tearing, as if he's weeping blood. Then Imam says, until I meet death from the pain of the catastrophe and the shocking grief. So this is why I said, unfortunately, we cannot see the way Imam Mahdi himself does mourning for his grandfather. If we could have seen that, then we would have realized what is the proper way of mourning for Imam Hussein. Because he knows exactly what has happened to Imam Hussein.